Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL. Ed Maher, good morning, Ed.
What's happening, Ken?
How are you?
I'm great.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council, how are you?
Very well, good morning.
We were all together in a foreign country.
That's right, we all made it back.
Somehow.
What were we there for?
We were there for Ed's beautiful nuptials.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was a good time. I got married a week ago.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. And by the way, guess who's here in the studio already? His wife.
You know, you got to keep an eye on me.
That's right.
This is how things are going to be now.
Call and chain. Just like, I don't know what she thinks Ed's going to be doing on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, whatever it is she wants to make sure.
Keeping an eye on things.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really fun. It was super cool. I had never been to an all-inclusive before, and so this resort was in Mexico. This thing was like 2 miles long. It was crazy big.
Yeah.
A million restaurants and blah, blah, blah. And the positive thing about it for me was that the folks from Local 150, my former coworkers, made sure that I took full advantage of the open bars.
Yes, I noticed
I remember
that.
You saying you weren't going to drink on the first day, and then I spotted you at the bar immediately.
I have been a terrible mistake because I had to get up at 5 the next morning to go fishing.
Yeah.
But I did it. It was fun.
Well, I appreciated you guys being down there.
It was a blast. It was really, really fun. So congratulations, Claire and Ed.
Thank you.
All right, so couple of things today. We are going to be taking phone calls for the first time in some time. So the phone number, 312-981-7200. I'm going to say it again, 312-981-7200. Give us a shout. Tell us what's on your mind. Feel free to heckle us. We haven't got a lot of hecklers lately.
Yeah, tell us whatever you think, except if it's bad.
Tell us how great we are.
Tell us like what it's like to work with Phil Davidson.
That would be probably have too many of those calls.
So
today.
He can't actually call in on his own behalf today.
Yeah, fake call.
I gotta go take Bill a quick Davidson. Break, guys. Hold on. Let me get my phone.
Listen. All right. So anyway, call in, guys. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll talk whatever you want to talk about. But we're going to start, which I think we have to, with the tragedy that happened in Texas with the floods.
Yeah.
They got, I think, 4 months worth of rain in 4 hours or something like that. Something terrible, terrible.
The death toll as of this morning is just over 50.
And it's kids.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, kids from camp. There were some other people, but it basically wiped out a Christian youth camp.
And it's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. But I will tell you this, and you know, I'm not the only one to say it, obviously. This has been making the rounds and making the news, and some elected officials are fuming right now because the National Weather Service was a victim of DOGE.
Yeah.
And they laid off 600 people, and I think they left them with 200. And I want to read to you this. It's going to make you sick. But in May, literally just a month and change ago, all five directors of the National Weather Service issued a letter warning that Trump's cuts leave the nation's official weather forecasting entity at a significant deficit. Just as we head into the busiest time for severe storm predictions like tornadoes and hurricanes, the directors wrote, our worst nightmare is that weather forecast offices will be so understaffed that there will be needless loss of life. Now, this is what these guys said 5 weeks ago.
Right.
That is.
And sure enough, right? And I think they eventually got a warning, but it came in the middle of the night, Ed, right?
Yeah, it was one of those, like, a text warning that just said, seek higher ground immediately.
But it was too late.
Yeah. Everyone was sleeping when they got it, right?
Right. And they're camping, right? So I mean, how many kids have cell phones while they're camping?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's sickening.
The story looks like something that you would see in a country that's not the United States.
Yes.
You know, that was my first takeaway was I saw this and it's like, I'm not used to seeing these types of tragedies in the U.S.
You're right about that. And it's just sad, right? It's sad.
Feels like we're backsliding, perhaps.
Yeah, or mudsliding.
Yeah. Horrible, and when you see joke. How quickly you can evacuate when other situations, and we did have staff when hurricanes come, I mean, you can move a million people in a matter of hours.
Yeah, right.
If they're properly notified and you have the right experts saying this is coming and forecasting, but...
But don't worry, because Donald Trump was golfing.
Yeah.
And didn't go down to the site. Didn't help with the evacuation or search and rescue, et cetera. Literally golfing. And I'm not making that up. You know, I run this. I don't run, but I have a golf tracker on my computer, and he's golfed almost 25% of his presidency so far.
Wow.
Imagine how bad it would be if he didn't.
Oh, my Lord.
Right? Yeah, I'm in a place where it's like, just maybe stay on the golf course.
Just keep golfing. So anyway, look, this is an unfortunate, obviously terrible tragedy. But I think it is extremely telling. And by the way, why lay off National Weather Service people? Like, were they really bothering Donald Trump or Elon Musk or Doge? Were they campaigning actively against him? They provide a valuable service that we physically need, especially nowadays when, you know,
there's weather events every other week.
There's hurricanes every 5 minutes, right?
I think part of the issue is that weather scientists track data that leads to conclusions that the administration perhaps doesn't agree with.
I think that's right.
And I actually shout out to Bob the weatherman, who was at my wedding. He said, you can disagree with the weather, but it will continue to happen.
Yes, there's no stopping it. Yes.
Yeah, Mother Nature's going to happen.
Yeah, right? So they're going to be replacing a lot of the tasks that these workers at the National Weather Service did with AI. Oh. So, you know, I mean, I don't know.
So robots are going to tell us, don't worry, the weather is fine.
Exactly.
Human.
Oh, yeah, I trust them.
Yeah, hopefully they do a better job than they do on term papers and, you know, legal documents legal and briefs. Things like that.
Yes.
Or the, what's the CDC paper or whatever they wrote?
Right, yeah. The National MAHA.
Yeah, let it be a reminder, government isn't always bad. Everyone who just has that
and by the way, what did
philosophy.
What did that save us? Like, those 600 layoffs, what did that save us?
$3 million,
whatever it is, right?
A fraction of a fraction.
Yeah, was it worth the lives of these kids?
No.
And so somebody has blood on their hands, literally. And I'm not kidding about that. And it's a shame. So maybe we could rethink, you know, getting rid of some of these agencies that actually serve a legitimate purpose. Some have fat and whatever, I get it. But certainly doesn't seem like the National Weather Service.
No.
So listen, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back, take some calls, et cetera. We got a ton of stuff to talk about today, but we'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, Claire.
Get used to saying that.
as do wife, constantly will be with him forever. And who's this? Does she work for the coalition? No, that's my new wife.
Listen, she misses me when I'm gone, all right? Don't be jealous.
So we got our first caller. What is it? Nick? Ashley? Nick? Nick? Nick, you're on the air. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of a bad connection just as you came back from commercials. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, now it sounds better. Yeah, I was telling the screener that this time I voted for Trump. It's the first time I voted for a Republican in a long while, except when Reagan was running. I really liked him. And then I was a Democratic precinct camp, but it's a long story. But we have to be vigilant that if Trump says, you know, aside from somebody's cuts they made to a Doge and that affected, for example, unfortunately, the staffing of the weather people.
Right.
But we have to just be vigilant and remind them, as anybody should remind a person who's run for office and has won, that you said you're going to be a different kind of Republican Party that's going to be for working people. I still find it a little hard to believe because the Republican Party, to me, historically, growing up fully in the 50s and into the 60s, the Republican Party is like for the better off people, which they have a right to have somebody look out for.
Wait, didn't you just say you voted for Trump?
Yeah.
Oh.
This last election, yeah.
So, maybe you should call him and tell him, hey, remember you said you were going to be for the working people because it's not going too well so far.
Well, he did. Can I say quickly,
of course.
He did appoint what appear to be two good people, one to the labor board, one to OSHA.
One to the Department of Labor. One to the Department of Labor. He's trying to dismantle the labor board.
All right.
Well, yeah, but still, he's in power now. See, you can't avoid that.
Right. No, we can't avoid that. Absolutely not. And look, Nick, I would tell you this, and I've said 1,000 times. If the Republicans got their act together and A, left the working class alone, B, pumped money into infrastructure, and C, sort of paid attention to us,
they'd be in power forever.
They'd be in power forever because the working class, the middle class, especially the building trades, will vote Republican. And if they give us a reason to vote Republican, we will. But when you start slashing jobs and dogeing and doing all this kind of stuff,
terminating union contracts,
and you know, cutting green energy jobs, blah blah blah. You're doing the opposite of what you said you would do. So
no, they set back that effort decades with the Big Beautiful Bill.
Yeah,
it literally catered to the rich.
But Nick, call your buddy Trump and tell him exactly what you said.
Okay, please. Yeah. I'm gonna call him right now. Hey, this is me, Nick.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for calling, Nick.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, listen. Right now in Philadelphia, of all places, there is a horrible strike. And I mean horrible, making, you think Philadelphia is a rough town to start with?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So, me too, because my son went to school there and lives there now. But they have no alleys. And you know what no alleys mean? Garbage goes in front. And guess who's on strike?
The garbage men.
Yeah. The sanitation workers. Right?
Who are they with?
So they're with a union called AFSCME, District Council 33, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
AFSCME is the case that brought us Janus v. AFSCME.
Yep.
They're predominantly, I think it's American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, something like that.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
They represent public workers.
Right.
They understand, they do public sector. But, they generally, at least in Chicagoland anyway, don't do a lot of blue collar, right? Don't do a lot of building trades, et cetera.
Okay.
So, I was looking at it, and this is the first strike that they've had in Philadelphia in 40 years.
Wow.
40 years.
And it's a lot of harmony.
It's either a lot of harmony or it's a lot of just like caving in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the average, municipal worker that's on strike right now, and these are sanitation workers, 9/11 dispatchers, water department staff, crossing guards, and more, is $46,000 a year. That's like $22 an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
Right? It's nothing.
In a big city like that,
in a massive city like that, right? That's, supposed to be, it's pretty progressive, pro-labor, pro-union, pretty strong union density. And I was shocked to find out that these guys are making so little money. You know what they make here to throw garbage? They're making $43 an hour, give or take.
Wow.
They're starting, I think, in the mid-20s, higher than what these guys are maxing out at. Why? In my humble opinion, because in Chicagoland, the sanitation workers and the laborers and the truck drivers and the rest of those, those blue-collar trades are represented by the building trades, right?
Yeah.
You guys know this?
Yeah.
Of course you knew this. This is what you guys do for a living.
Well, right. Yeah, we know
these are the people that you personally organize, right, Ken? Is this a way to pat yourself on the back here?
No, I didn't do the city of Chicago, but I did public works. But yes. In the city of Chicago, they make really, really good money. And they have strong, strong unions, and they're not afraid of the fight, but they're making like prevailing wage here, right?
Yeah.
And so when I read about the strike, I was thinking, okay, what are they asking for? And you know what they're asking for in Philly? Like 4 or 5% wage increases over like 3 or 4 years.
Keep up with inflation.
If you haven't been on strike in ever, decades, a generation, whatever, and you go out on strike, you should ask for a lot.
Now's the time, right? If you're on strike, don't.
If you're making that little money, here's your chance to actually get ahead.
Don't go into 5%. Go into 20%. Try and make up for what you lost, because you got the one shot and you've been seeing pictures of it, et cetera.
For the moon.
And there's a bit of a silver line I want to talk about in a second. But we got Dave on the line, right? Dave, is that what you said, Ashley? Dave, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to make a movie recommendation for you guys. I don't know if you've seen it, and if you have some spare time, I think you guys would really enjoy the movie.
Hold on a second. Hold on. What's it rated?
Oh, no, it's not. No.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Ken.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
No, the movie is called Mate One.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
John Sayles movie.
Yeah. Tell us about it. 2 seconds. What's Mate One about?
Well, my family is all from this in Kentucky, and we're coal miners. My grandfathers both died because of coal mines. Anyway, it's about the coal mine wars in Appalachia, circa 1920, 30.
Yep.
James Earl Jones, Chris Cooper, David Strathern. It's a great movie, and it is a perfect thing for working people to watch now.
You know, I'm glad that you...
Good rec.
Yeah, it's a really good recommendation. And I'm glad that you actually called in with this. Because Dave, we had been talking about this for some time. Like, should we start to list, movies that are important to working people? So people, it's a great point, right? How many young kids know about, what happened in the coal mines in the 20s? Not a lot, right? But it's an easy way for people, because they don't teach labor.
And the Pinkertons, for sure,
all of that stuff. Haymarket, right? All of this kind of labor stuff. They don't teach it in school anymore, right? So maybe an easy way to get some of that knowledge out there is to recommend movies.
Yes.
So I really appreciate it.
And Mate One's a great example. They talk about the in the mining world, the mines were trying to separate the workers and turn the white workers against the black workers, and they united and said, we've got a lot more in common than we do with the mine owners. But we actually at Local 150, where Ken and I come from, when new members join, they have to take a labor history class and an organizing class, and clips of that movie are part of that. So every new member that comes in sees clips of that movie.
I'm glad that's one of you guys knows about the movie. It is a great
movie. It is a good one.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And there's an old saying, an old country saying, get two dogs fighting and you can steal the bone.
I like that.
I like it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
really good.
There's a lot of that going on right now.
You're not kidding.
Well, I mean, isn't that the oldest playbook in the world, right? Divide and conquer, right? Just get us fighting amongst ourselves.
That's basically what that saying is, just in country terms.
Yeah. Listen, Dave, appreciate it. Appreciate the movie recommendation. Everybody go watch Mate One. You could probably stream it. Here is our 2 second silver lining of the Philly strike.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've been talking about this, right? Where people that have a soapbox, movie stars, athletes, et cetera, should, stand up and honor picket lines. And guess who did? LL Cool J. He was supposed to
ladies
play.
Love.
Ladies love Cool James. He was supposed to play at the Wawa.
Summer concert festival.
Wawa's, by the way, awesome.
It's like 7-Eleven of the East, right?
Oh, my God. It's like 7-Eleven on steroids.
Good hoagies.
Jasmine Sullivan was another performer. And, they said, what? We're not gonna play this show because we're going to stand in solidarity with these workers. And they simply refused to cross a picket line. How do you like that?
I mean, I love the fact that their contracts allow them to do it.
Yeah.
Because I know in some professional sports, they're not, the contracts bar them from honoring picket lines, but they clearly negotiate good contracts for their performances.
That's a great question. I wonder if it has to do with the American Federation of Musicians or their contracts, or do their agents do it, or they just say, I'm not going to cross the picket line, right?
Obviously, you heard about it on this show, that tactic, because we've been talking about it. You specifically for...
Well, they must. You think that LL heard
I'm pretty
it?
Sure. He heard. He's like, wait a second.
Wait, he's like,
Edwards is onto something
and
here.
And he's from Queens.
Exactly.
Right where LL
did you guys go to school
from.
Together?
You know what's weird, Phil? He's younger than me.
Oh, he is?
Which is always weird. Like when you see a movie star or a rock star or something, like, wow, I look up to them my whole life and realize that they're 3 or 4 years younger than me.
Ouch.
It is an ouch. So anyway.
Shout out LL, though.
Yeah, I know. That's really, really cool. I'm not sure who Jasmine Sullivan is. But
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
And we love her,
and
too.
Shout out to her, too. So thanks for standing up and doing that. That's a really cool thing. I know they were negotiating yesterday, the sanitation folks and the municipal workers in the city. They haven't come to a deal yet as of this morning.
Right.
Right. Hopefully they negotiate today. I mean, you got to do this round the clock. Because, look, garbage piling up, rats, rodents, raccoons, you know what I mean?
There's more trash than usual.
My son.
That's not true. I'm going to stick up for you, Evan.
Thank you so much.
We love Philly.
Free food, Dad. All right, listen, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some more calls, more stuff, and we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Oh.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. More calls. What's the guy's name? Ron. Okay, Ron. What's up, Ron?
Curious as to your understanding and stance regarding Trump's suggestion that money be moved from supporting higher education to the trades. I'm wondering, just overall, are there a shortage of tradesmen, and would your union support such a suggestion? And so on and so forth. I was just curious how you stood on that and what you thought about it.
Okay.
Great question.
Yeah. Awesome question. Thank you.
It is a very good question. So I think what you're referring to is back when the Trump administration began to penalize universities like Harvard. They were talking about taking some of those funds and shifting them to construction training programs. So, you know, at a glance, it sounds, you know, like an interesting proposal, but you've got to get into the weeds of this and sort of take some of the context from the previous Trump administration here, where if you're going to take money from an institute of higher education and transfer it over to training people in things like, let's say, heavy construction equipment operation, is this going to go to training programs that are, say, linked to a union or that are designed to encourage employment that is meaningful with good wages, good benefits, things like that? Or is it going to be tied into programs that undercut those programs, where you're training people to do this type of work for no benefits, things like that?
And you know, union programs are actual 7, 8, 9 week training programs where you leave as, you know, a neophyte expert in your field, but then you're out and you know, you learn your
do the craft. On-the-job training.
Right, on-the-job training. Whereas some of these other training programs, it's like, hey, come in for 2 days and you're done. Here you go. You're an electrician now. Like, so, that, is that really a good use of public funds? I'm so not sure.
And I think that's where it's important to look into the context of this, where in the first Trump administration, there was a war on what you call IRAPs, industry-recognized apprenticeship programs, where they were sort of trying to compete with these high-road training programs,
right,
that would basically, you know, train workers to compete against workers who make good wages, just sort of a race to the bottom. So when I first saw the news there that they were talking about shifting money from Harvard to like, you know, apprenticeship programs or training programs, the first thing that I thought of was that, but, you know, the devil's in the details. There's certainly potential for such a program to be good because, you know, we need more people to be trained in construction, I think, for a number of reasons. We have...
Well, we did need more people to be trained until this new big beautiful bill came along, and now maybe we need less.
I mean,
we can certainly talk about
that. The big beautiful bill, we're definitely going to get into in just a minute, I think, about the impact that it's had on wiping out green energy programs.
Yeah.
And really killing probably around 2 million jobs, I think, in the clean energy field. So... it's a great question. I'm really glad that you called in and asked it.
But here, let me just say this. Union apprentice programs are funded by unions and employer contributions.
There's no government money.
We don't need any government money.
Right.
So I would assume that, honestly, what he's talking about is trying to undercut us,
yeah,
train people how to, you know, half baked run equipment, you know, be an electrician, like you said, Phil. Here, 2 days, congratulations, you're an electrician.
Exactly.
I don't want that guy wiring my house.
No.
I don't want them building my roads. I don't want them building my bridges. I want it to be union labor that is very, very well trained. Some of our members take more classes, more hours than it would to become a doctor, right? You're operating a tower crane downtown, right? There's a lot of math, a lot of physics, right? It's a really, really
The number of hours of classroom training and apprenticeship, I know for the Carpenters Union's program, is equivalent to getting a bachelor's. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's like 6,000 hours or something.
Right. I don't think that that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But let's talk. Let's pivot here.
And thanks for the call, Ron.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's talk about this bill. Right, the blah, 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 big, beautiful bill.
Big, beautiful bill.
Ridiculous.
They did it. They met their July 4th deadline.
They certainly, and you knew it was going to happen,
yeah.
Right? There was no question about it. Now, Phil, your pet project, AI,
yes.
Got pushed out by 100% vote. The moratorium on, you know, regulation of AI.
Thank God.
Everybody was against that.
One person voted for it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, one person.
Who?
I can't remember, but Ted Cruz sponsored the thing to get rid of regulating AI.
Was it Techno Disrupto?
And Ted Cruz introduced the thing and then voted against it.
Stupid. Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Isn't that like somebody, did you just say, like, one of the senators that just voted for this thing was like, you got to come in and save my rural hospitals.
Yes. No, right. It was Representative Derek Van Orden, from a Republican from Wisconsin, sent a letter to the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who's a Democrat, saying, hey, you must save rural hospitals, after he voted for the bill that decimated funding for rural hospitals.
Oh, you can't make this stuff up. So they got their bill, right? And we're going to not have a knee-jerk reaction to this bill. We're actually going to
Have experts come in,
some economists, you know, maybe some of the folks from Aleppi and maybe Bob Bruno and some people that actually know what they're talking about, as opposed
to talk how it impacts labor and working people.
Absolutely, yeah. All day. And talk about, you know, Social Security, Medicaid, tax on tips, tax on overtime, what that really means in plain English for you and me. I can tell you this. I know for a fact, because there was a calculator, I think it was in the New York Times, maybe the Wall Street Journal, that said, plug in your numbers and see how much money that you're going to get back. And guess what? I plugged it in, and I'm just going to get back a couple $1,000. You know what? I don't want it. I don't need it. If it comes on the backs of Medicaid
recipients, shutting down.
Hospitals shutting down.
Yeah. You
know, or people who are entitled to health care, qualify for health care, and are not going to get it for some ridiculous reason, like some carve-out.
Like, you know, people that are going to lose their, you know, food stamps. Like, if that's what, you know, that if that's what gets me a couple extra $1,000, you can keep my money.
Yeah.
I simply don't want it. Now, I'm probably in the minority. I don't think I am.
I think
actually.
I just heard hundreds of people pick up their phones to call WGN.
But I don't think I am in the minority. I think most people in this country are actually opposed to what is in this bill. Look, because Trump at the end of the day said, I'm not going to cut Medicaid. I'm not going to touch those. Not going to touch them. Turned around and changed his mind. Shocking.
Yeah.
Like he does everything else. You know, he just always chickens out. So
remember the uproar when Biden said it in his State of the Union speech that these people want to cut your Medicaid, and everyone, you lie.
Yeah.
You know, he was called out on the
turns
floor
out,
of the Capitol.
Turns out they did.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this real quick. All right. And this is just pure fact. It affects us. The building trades came out. The electricians came out. The carpenters came out. Everybody came out and said, taxing green energy. Okay. So you used to get a tax credit if you're building solar, wind farms, EV, et cetera, et cetera. Right. They magically cut out EV from it. Right.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Oh, yeah. Initially, right.
Yeah, yeah. But the wind and solar and things like that, not only are you not going to get credits, you're going to get taxed.
Right. Yeah, they're penalizing green energy.
Only green energy.
Yes.
But you have to prove that there's no supply chain connected to China to pay that tax. But hey, if it's fossil fuel based, we don't care about using China. But
right.
Here,
yeah, right.
Which is an impossible.
For fossil fuel, we'll use any country.
Exactly.
Yeah. But so one of the senators, is Chip Roy from Texas, said, we believe we're going to get 90%+ of all future projects terminated. Terminated. Like wind energy, solar, right? Things that have been keeping our members afloat.
And that equates to how many jobs?
1.7 million was something I heard from the building trades.
Great idea.
3 billion hours. You know, just jobs, jobs, jobs. And by the way, where are most of the wind farms and solar energy fields?
Red
in
states.
China.
In China. Well, they're going to be selling us wind pretty soon
for sure.
You know what I mean? But yes, they're in red states.
Yes.
So you're hurting your own constituents.
I don't get it.
You know, similar to what you're doing with Medicaid, you're hurting your own constituents. But what shocks me and what appalls me is that the hardline right wing of the conservative caucus was able to be swayed to sign this bill because it was going to get rid of what they call the new green scam.
Right.
Right? That's what they call it, the new green scam. It's not a scam. We're going to run out of fossil fuels at some point. Right?
Right.
It's just a fact.
It's happening.
It's just, there's a finite amount of it, and maybe we should turn to wind. But here, it doesn't matter. These are jobs. And what's the downside to having a wind farm? What's the downside to having a solar farm? Literally, what's the downside? There is no downside. You know why? Because they're getting paid by the fossil fuel lobby.
Yeah, when somebody in Texas is celebrating getting rid of clean energy, it makes sense.
The fix is in.
You know, I wonder what their interest is in Texas. But they're talking about all these battery plants and all this stuff that they're trying to kill. The economy, the global economy, is going to be sort of based on access to these data centers. Yeah. And if you're going to build enormous data centers, you have to have energy.
Yeah.
So are you going to use coal? Are you going to use natural gas? You can't build quick, nuclear.
But windmills.
Yeah, so
it's literally to own the lips. They're upending energy policy just to own the lips.
There was a time, 10 years ago.
Killing millions of jobs in the meantime.
Where we talked about the amount of coal-fired power plants that were being opened in China. Yeah. It's not the case anymore. I mean, China is leading the world in green energy right now. And I mean, the president said nobody's ever seen a wind farm in China, but they have, 10,000 acre wind farms in China, and it's not a bad thing.
No.
So to your point, Phil, I think being anti-woke has gone so far that it is now woke.
Yes.
Like, you can be against woke so much that you become woke.
It comes full circle.
I mean, you're so against green energy that you're woke. This is the new woke movement.
That's pretty good, Ed.
Thanks.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to finish up with a few kind of quick hits. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And let me say a couple quick things. One is I owe an apology to Jason Francis. Jason sent us an email, apparently, several months ago that kind of slipped through the cracks. He's I think he's a fourth-year apprentice in IBW down in Springfield. No, Bloomington, Illinois. Wants to come on the show. The answer is yes, Jason. So if you're listening, expect an email from me. Apologize for the delay. And you, by the way, simultaneously, you're now officially Listener of the Week.
Way congratulations.
Way to go, Jason.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Sorry.
We're going to blame that one on Kevin McDonough.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll blame it on Ashley.
Okay.
Who's conspicuously not here.
Yeah, shocking. Phil, you wanted to say something about, we had talked about, the unfortunate passing of a firefighter recently, correct?
Correct, yes.
Here in Chicago.
Yes, Captain David Meyer. It made the headlines, and I think actually his funeral services were televised, but he died in the line of duty in April, and we got a call, the Carpenters Union, from a neighbor who said, hey, his parents live next door to me, and they're elderly, and it looks like they need some home repairs done. So this week, four members of my union, including a retiree, went out there, Bill, Ian, Steve, and Rob. I'm going to give them all a shout-out. They went out and volunteered their time, got there at 6 in the morning, replaced the stairs for the family.
That's awesome.
And, just a feel-good story, and I think this is just the type of work that all the building trades do. I mean, everyone goes out
they
and
do
helps
it. They do
whenever
it constantly.
They can. Yeah.
They do it constantly. They do it under the radar. They don't have a press crew with them. They don't have camera crews. They just go out and they do it.
Yep.
Right? I can't tell you how many parks get built.
That's for sure.
Right? So that's a really cool
thing.
Just
stuff to feel good about when you're a member of a union, I think. It really drives people, and it's almost, again, we talk about it's part of, your membership. It's the oath that you take. But
For everybody listening, you'd be shocked at the altruistic things that unions do.
Yes.
Right? I was just in, I forget where I was, Ed, the other day. Where was I? Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah. Hot Atlanta.
In the past week, I've been in Detroit, Mexico, and Atlanta in the space of like 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been crazy travel.
He's not welcome back in any of those places.
Yes.
But they had a, it was just like they had a blood drive, right? It's like, oh yeah, we had a blood drive going on today.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're not like blasting it out to the world. It's like, yeah, this is what we do, you know? And so.
Just an old school community organization.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
You want to hear another feel good story?
Please. Sure.
You know Bob's Red Mill? They make gruel.
They make the little bags of grain that are, you know, more expensive than the usual bags of grain. Yeah. If you're looking for fancy schmancy sorghum wheat or, yeah, you know, whatever.
I'm not sure what it is.
It's too healthy for me.
No.
I wouldn't know how to make it. Anyway, the owner was 94 years old and he passed away. And before he passed away, you know, people were trying to buy the company. And instead he left it to his 700 employees.
Really?
Yeah, how cool is that?
Very cool.
Bob.
I just hope they don't run it into the ground.
I hope they don't ground the wheat.
That was terrible.
That's a bad joke.
You know, you got to put a little more thought into it.
Sorry, it's early.
No, but that's, I mean, that's awesome.
We'll fix that in editing, everyone. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool, right? More people need to do stuff like that. I love that kind of stuff. In other news, ready?
Yeah.
196-day strike in Southern California. 2,400 nurses. Right, 196
days. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Kaiser again?
I'm not sure. I guess I should.
It's California,
I should know
probably.
That,
but yeah.
They went on strike. They came back. They got a 20% pay raise and a $2,500 bonus. Like, that's the strike. That's the numbers that you're talking about.
The California nurses do not mess around.
But if you're going to go on strike, those are the numbers that you're looking for.
Good for them.
Cowboy cheerleaders, other good news, right, Ed?
Yeah, so there's a documentary, I think it's on HBO, it's called America's Sweethearts. We've talked in the past about the fact that Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, famous as they are, were making less than minimum wage. They have to practice, you know, so many hours every week. They don't get paid for practice. They get paid like a flat amount to be at the game. So in this show, America's Sweethearts, it's a documentary. One of the cheerleaders...
Documentary, for sure. It's a documentary you're watching.
For sure. I love documentaries about cheerleaders. But it's about... this one says that she's making less than minimum wage, or, you know, like last year after a pay raise, it went up to like $15 an hour she was averaging for while she was on the field.
When they've had multiple seasons of television shows, calendars, like they're getting none of this?
Well, the pressure apparently made it to the Dallas Cowboys, because in that show, at the end of it, they announced that the Cowboys had given a 400% pay raise. So, which, you know, it's a very meaningful pay raise. It makes it a decent job. You know, I think a lot of these entertainment jobs, people are underpaid because their employers will say, well, this is an opportunity for exposure.
Yeah.
From here, the world's your oyster. You're going to become
a Cowboys cheerleader.
I'm so glad the team that's valued at $9 billion was able to find some money to pay their cheerleaders a living wage.
Jerry Jones shook the couch cushions a little bit. But at the end of the day, they did the right thing.
Okay.
So that is definitely a good story.
That's a good feel-good story. You think that Greg Abbott still refuses them water breaks?
I guarantee.
Hey, ladies, I know you're thirsty. Yeah. Sorry.
We're not paying you to drink.
We're not paying you to drink. We're paying you to cheer.
Dance.
So, all right, that is a good one. Here's a goofy one. Department of Labor came out, and they said a couple of things. One is they are rescinding a Biden rule that would pay disabled people more than the 36 cents an hour they get paid.
Right.
Right? I mean, was it going up to minimum wage?
They hadn't gotten into exactly what they were going to pay, but these laws that allow for disabled people to be paid, you know, less than a dollar an hour, be paid per piece for piecework, they predate the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it's something that's been in place for a long time. These folks are not making any money. It's exploitation, sort of just clear exploitation. The Biden administration had put forth a rule with the Department of Labor, or a suggestion with the Department of Labor, to end this practice, and it has been formally withdrawn by the Trump administration.
Like the National Weather Service, that has gone too. And now the Department of Labor has a new rule, and that is for every new regulation the Department of Labor passes, they have to get rid of 10.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So less than zero sum.
Literally, you're going back 9 rules per one.
What are some examples of Department of Labor regulations?
Let's see. It's like all of OSHA, I don't know, like scaffolding, you know, tying onto a bridge if you're working on
getting paid overtime if you work it.
Yeah. Respirators.
Protection if you're working in like a silica mine, things like that.
Yeah, no, all that stuff's gone.
Regulations, we've said this many times on the show before, regulations, especially in the Department of Labor, labor are not a bad thing. They've come as a result. Usually a regulation is passed when someone dies of something stupid.
And you know who hates regulations? Business. We want to be unregulated.
Because other countries are able to do things more cheaply without regulation.
By the way, we've already gotten a nasty Facebook post about our story about Texas. That was quick, huh?
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got a nasty Facebook post. And then
we can address that later.
And then Elon, last but not least, and this just cracks me up, Elon Musk is going to start his own political party.
That's right.
Now, he can't be president because he's not born here, right?
Is it going to be called like the 420 Doge Haha Party?
Nothing worse than an Elon scorned.
So anyway, I'm officially announcing my candidacy for president of Elon Musk's new
America Party.
Seconded.
What is it called?
I think it's the America Party.
The America Party.
I think so.
That's started by a South African.
Listen, the one thing that guy has is money.
Yes.
Right? And there's a case before the Supreme Court right now to actually raise the cap to allow more money into politics.
Oh, yes.
I don't feel like there's enough.
Scary.
Right. Yeah, there's not enough of that. So anyway, that is all the labor news that we have today.
Can I do a quick plug for Built to Last?
Oh, yeah.
Built to Last, everybody. If you're a listener of this show and you support unions, you support labor, check out Built to Last on our sister station, WGN, starts this Saturday.
Wait, on television?
On television, an actual television show about unions, specifically the Mid-America Carpenters Union, but we've got other trades on there as well.
And we were on, too.
We've got an episode with a story about this great show that we do, and that'll be on in August 2nd is the air date. But first episode airs this Saturday, July 12th at 10:30 a.m. on WGN. So check us out.
Be sure to check it out.
All right, listen, thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the continued kind words, all the support. We really appreciate it. We will be back next week with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.